Are you an entrepreneur, creative pro, or in a transition to becoming one? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast, where it's all about educating and motivating you with simple and easy to implement ideas. And of course, helping you create something awesome today. And now your host, he's a YouTuber, public speaker, whose deepest regret was not buying Bitcoin sooner, Roberto Blake.
Hey everybody, this is Roberto Blake of robertoblake.com, helping you create something awesome today. Welcome back to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast, a special video edition with my friend Chris Ducker, an entrepreneur that I've admired for many years. We've become friends. We were both speakers at Social Media Marketing World last year and this year, and he is going to talk to you today about Youpreneur. I'm really excited about this. I'm actually part of the Youpreneur community. It is a great community that you guys really should look into. It's very different, I think, than even what I'm doing at awesomecreatoracademy.com. If you got the money, do both. But Chris is going to tell you about his new book, Rise of the Youpreneur. I feel, and Chris can probably speak to this, that I might be literally, I haven't even read it just yet, and I think I literally might be living this already. I might be a living avatar for Rise of the Youpreneur. Chris will tell you himself. But welcome Chris Ducker to the show, everybody. ChrisDucker.com, Youpreneur.com, amazing podcast, an amazing entrepreneur and speaker. And we've actually done a show together before. Chris, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, man. Thank you. I was wondering when you'd get around to inviting me on. I mean, I had you on my show quite some time ago.
I've wanted to have you on for quite a while, Chris, and you are definitely one of my favorite of my 100 collabs for this year. So welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's an honor, my man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So tell me something. What made you decide after the success of Virtual Freedom, a book that I think was instrumental in changing my life and my career, what made you decide to write another book, and what was the process like, and what's the thesis of Rise of the Youpreneur?
Well, I mean, you know, Virtual Freedom is a very different book, right? It was a book at the time when it came out early 2014, so we're talking 4 years ago now. When it came out, it was what I was all about, right? I was the VA guy. I was the outsourcing guy. That was what I was known as. I'm still known as that as well. That book has sold well over 50,000 copies. We're at 800 plus five-star reviews on Amazon. It's pretty incredible. Like, honestly, when I wrote it, I didn't think it was going to do that well. I was like, you know what? If I can get this into the hands of 100 entrepreneurs that are going to actually read it and take action on it, then my job is done. But it's just been tens of thousands. And there isn't a week that goes by where I don't hear from a reader of the book in some way, shape or form, whether it be an email or a tweet or whatever, saying how much it's helped them kind of, you know, control their, you know, micromanaging and all that kind of sort of type of thing. So it was a very important book for me personally to write as well, because, you know, in 2009, I hit burnout pretty hardcore as an entrepreneur.
At that time, were you an entrepreneur that had employees, or were you putting everything on your back as a solo entrepreneur?
No, I had employees. I had about 130 employees at the time. We were already a seven-figure business at the call center that I owned. I still own and operate today, although I don't manage it anymore. I burned out. I mean, it was horrifically bad. I'd been going 3-4 years at 15 hours a day, 6 days a week. It wasn't a friendly situation at all. But, you know, like anything, you have to learn by the mistakes that you make. And clearly living on coffee, not exercising and eating badly is not a good thing for you. You know this. I know this. I knew it when I was doing it, but it didn't stop me because the blinkers were on, the tunnel vision was in full effect. And clearly all I was really wanting to do was just work myself to the bone. And, you know, the burnout was inevitable. It happened. I took 2010, and that's when I started blogging and podcasting. And I basically just blogged and podcast the journey of becoming a virtual CEO and removing myself from the business. A couple of years later, the book offer comes along from a publishing house in the UK. We sign, not with that publisher, but with another publisher after we shipped, we kind of shopped it out there a little bit. And the book did very, very well. Now, fast forward all that time to where we are today, and a lot has happened. Virtual freedom really cemented my personal brand for me as the go-to guy in that space. It actually helped quadruple the revenue on my business Virtual Star Finder as well. In fact, actually 6 months after the book came out, I had to double the staff on that VSF team.
Wow.
Because we couldn't control the influx of business. And it wasn't like every page of the book, it was like, you must use my service, you must use my business. I mean, I think I mentioned it like four times throughout 300 pages. You
this
know what
is
I mean?
Why I need to triple down on finishing my book. But
yes, this is exactly why you need to do it. And so it really made, I mean, I was already focusing on the personal brand element of everything, but it really made me double down on it. And so, you know, once you do that, once you make a very focused, acutely aware decision like that, amazing things will come your way. And, you know, huge keynote, you know, engagements, international travel up the Yazoo, you know, $20,000, you know, one day consulting gigs in Australia. I mean, you name it, the book really cemented things for me. And it was actually,
yeah, I need to finish writing the book.
Don't worry, I'll hold you accountable now because we're buddies. You know, I'm going to do that. But what happened actually, it was the middle of 2014. I was at our mutual friend Pat Flynn's house. It was July 4th. Okay. So Independence Day. We had just finished a water balloon fight in his backyard. Just me and Pat. The kids weren't involved. Just me.
I love it.
And and we were in his home office having a cup of coffee, and he asked me the question, where do you want to be 15 years from now? That's kind of deep. Like, you might say 3 years from now, at the end of the year, 5 years, about 15 years is a long time in any life. And I just said, you know what? I honestly don't really care so much about how much money I'm going to be making. I've made more than enough. I just really care about the fact that I want to be happy doing what I'm doing every single day. And even with all the success of that first book, I can honestly say I wasn't that happy doing what I was doing every single day. So it really, and that was actually where the term, that meeting was where the term youpreneur was born as well.
So that's the origin story.
There's the origin story. And he said, what makes you happy? I said, well, what really makes me happy is working with people like me, like actually people like me, authors, speakers, content creators, freelancers, creatives.
Yes.
They're the people that I want to work with. That will make me happy if I can do that. And he said, so why don't you?
That's what I'm doing every single day. And it makes me so happy. And people don't realize that, like, this is, for me, this is relatively straightforward. I wouldn't be so audacious as to call what I do easy. And in all humility, I realize that it's not, because if it was easy, everyone would do it, right?
Of course.
But the making a commitment, that's easy. And I think that's the important, crucial step, because you had to come to a place of self-awareness to realize you were unhappy.
Right.
Despite all the traditional and conventional optics of happiness in the form of money, in the form of wealth and notoriety and prestige, you were still wildly dissatisfied. And you were a good friend, reached out to you, recognized this. And that means you're surrounding yourself with the right people, and then made you put it into perspective that you were on a path that wasn't sustainable for your long-term health and happiness.
Absolutely.
And called you on it. And I think that that made a fundamental difference in your life. And the reason I wanted to walk through that by the numbers is I want people, if they, with no ambiguity, to understand what happened and understand that transformation in you. Because I think there's so many people that's their story.
It was game changing. Dude, it was
where you
totally
were.
They were, exactly. And every single day inside of the Youpreneur community, as you well know, there are people in that exact same position that make the pivot that I made in terms of making that decision and moving forward. That day at Pat's place was very instrumental. We actually tried to register the domain name, but it was already taken. So I had to get into a little bit of tug of war over the domain name, but I got it. I always get what I want. Mm. but
That's what I like to hear.
Well, that being said, I probably paid more than I really wanted to pay for it, but what the hell? I was so set. I was set on the price tag I want. I know, exactly. I mean, that's the story of life, right? That's the story of life. But I was so set on that word, on that term, that I had to have it. Plain simple. Anyway, fast forward another whole year and I finally actually do something with the domain name and with the brand, and we launched the Youpreneur Community 2015. That grows very, very quickly over the space of the first 18 months or so. How many members in that 18 months? I'm going to say maybe 400.
That's amazing. And you ran a few, I believe you ran a few Facebook ads. I know I saw those following me around until I caved and clicked. I saw what you were doing there. But like, that's tremendous. 18 months, 400 members making a true commitment to invest in themselves and to build and be part of a community. That's not a small thing at all.
No, not at all. And actually, in terms of Rise of the Youpreneur and the way that that came about, I had my team starting to put together a spreadsheet of the terms, of the problems, of the scenarios, of the subjects, the topics, the struggles that people were talking about inside of the community for that first 12 months or so. And actually, it had nothing to do with the book. I had no intention of writing the book actually at this point. But what happened was we realized that there were several gaps in our proprietary content inside of our acceleration library that I needed to fill. So I either created the content myself, or I went out and interviewed other people or guested, people to come in and do workshops to fill those gaps. Mm-hmm. And we filled them. And in the middle of 2016, we launched the Youpreneur Roadmap, which is now the three-step, build, market, and monetize roadmap. Now, we start breaking that down even further. We update that almost monthly as well. It's an ever-evolving, ever-growing thing. And actually, it was probably, I'm going to say, end of 2016, right at the end of 2016, I realized, holy gamoly, this is a book. This is ready to go. Like, it's done. It's fundamentally written. All I need to do is just put it into some coherent argument and I've got another book. This is great. So I actually reached out to the community and I said, I'm thinking of writing a book based on what we do here. Is it a yay or a nay? Is it something you would buy even if you're at a certain stage in the journey? And we had like a 99.9% reply rate that they would buy the book. So we went ahead and we started putting it together in January of 2017. Now, what you have to understand is, at the very same time, we were also putting together very, very early plans for the inaugural Youpreneur Summit conference,
yes,
which took place for the first time in London in November 2017.
Your good friend Amy Schmittauer spoke at.
She spoke at, and she rocked the stage as well. People ate her session up. We had already started to sell tickets. I knew that by the middle of the year, my entire focus was going to be on that event. I just knew it was going to happen. I decided to complicate things by going to England in late January for a friend's wedding, of which I was a best man at.
Oh, wow.
And then getting invited out to go property, sort of not searching, but property, I don't know,
prospecting.
Whatever. I mean, there was a guy at the wedding who was like, well, if you're ever thinking about moving back to England, let me know. This is what we do. And I'm like, well, actually, we are kind of talking about it on and off. And he said, well, let me take you out for lunch and then we'll go and have a look at a couple of properties. Sure. So I ended up buying a house on this same trip in Cambridge in England. We moved there in a few months from now. And obviously, instantly, the year got more complicated. But exactly the same time, I engaged an editor to help me start making sense of all this content that we created. And we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of hours of video content with workshops and interviews with guys like Amy and Pat and Gary Vee and a whole bunch of other people. And so, long story short, the book started with me being fundamentally interviewed for around about 12 hours. We transcribed that. We then reworked all of that content into book style content, got rid of about 30,000 words. And it's amazing how much you can talk, how many words you can get out in 12 hours.
You say that because that's the hack that I'm using for my book, the Just Create Awesome book, which is around personal branding, mindset, monetization, and marketing. Like that was my three things. It's like, I came up with the strategy of knowing, like, I do really good with interviews like this one. I can get the story and the mindset and the tools and techniques behind what people do, but more importantly, what their journey and what their pain point and transformation was. And I can relate that to other people. And then I can add my two cents. I was like, wait a minute. I can just have that stuff transcribed and then I can have it make sense in a book format, because I write, but I'm so slow sometimes at, because I'm so methodical about my choice in words. Whereas right. when I have conversations with great people like you, it's more natural. Yeah. So I started to play to my strengths.
Totally. But that is the key. Like, that's the biggest tip I can give you as somebody who's doing something similar, is to accept the fact that you're not going to get away with not writing anything. I still wrote. Mm-hmm. I still personally wrote 20,000 words out of this, whatever it is.
Oh, that's tremendous. Yeah.
60,000 words. I don't know what it is, but yeah. You have to understand that even though you're shortcutting the writing process by doing the transcription thing and getting all the stories out, and you're right about the stories, there were certainly things that my editor drew out of me, stories, like real personal stories wise, mm-hmm. that were perfect to kind of make a point in the book that I never would have typed out on a keyboard myself. I just wouldn't have done it. I just wouldn't have done it. So you're doing the right thing, but understand you're still going to have to write a crap ton of words.
I'm happy with that because I love writing. I'm just so brutal with myself sometimes about it and whether it's good, but I'm getting more encouragement from that because I'm doing more writing in Medium. I'm doing other stuff with other people's publications. I'm doing some guest blogging and it's been well received, and I'm realizing, and I'm also putting this out there because I want to encourage other people that you will always be your harshest critic, but the thing that both Chris and I do is we just put it out there and see what happens, and we'll take the punches as they come, because they'll come. So
look, you can't please all the people all the time, and as a YouTuber, you know that anyway. The YouTube comment section is probably the most brutal environment on the internet. It really is.
I didn't have a thick skin. I certainly got one.
Oh, good gosh! I tell you. Good gosh. Some of the stuff I've seen is shocking. I mean, these people, oh my God, they should be banned from the internet. But I think that overall, the journey to getting Rise of the Youpreneur now into book format has been much easier than the first book for me. It's definitely been more enjoyable. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Anyone that has got a copy of the book already, we gave about 400 copies out for free at the Youpreneur Summit to everybody that was in attendance, kind of like literally 3 months before it comes out to everybody else. They ate it up, they loved it. And I'm now starting to get people's feedback. You know, they've read the book, they've come back now, they're all loving it. Everyone's loving it. I mean, like the word Bible for personal branding is coming to, you know, people's lips more often than not. Life-changing, game-changing. I mean, it's just, I can't wait to get it out to the masses to see what it can do. I mean, if it does half of what Virtual Freedom did, I'll be a very, very happy author.
It'll change tens of thousands of lives, even if it does half or a quarter of that. You know, right. I love that you put out a book around this concept of personal branding. You know that that's like something that I'm very passionate about, that I defend, like, and that's also a big part of the thesis of my upcoming book. And I think that there's a need for that. I think there's a need for various people sharing their experience in this and their personal journey and what they overcame in their reservations. Because what I like about you voicing and speaking up for this is you're someone who already had a traditionally successful business. Like, I don't think you get much more practical than having a seven-figure call center based business, right? That is that's wildly practical. That's borderline the same as doing like doctor, lawyer, whatever. Like, you know, that's...
Well, we're talking hundreds of employees. Like at the moment, I've got 400 plus employees.
Exactly.
And the call center is only one of three businesses under that umbrella. So there's also that.
Because you're a serial entrepreneur. I don't think people realize that.
Right. But here's the other thing is that the book itself, it's a book about personal branding, but it's not.
Let me explain.
It's actually a book about how to become future-proof as an entrepreneur. That's really the overall message for me. Because I believe when you build the business of you, as I call it, it's 100% original. It can't be copyable. It'll survive recession and presidential elections and all that kind of crap.
It doesn't matter who's in office. It's like, I'm telling people that
it doesn't matter.
I've been like, okay, everybody like who cried about this administration, okay, I built my business like to six figures in that administration, and I'll probably build my business to seven under the next one. And I guarantee you that neither of them really did anything for me.
They did nothing at all.
Because
why it's youpreneur. The focus is on you. It's all down to you. And so really, it's a money-making manual is what it is, Roberto. It's how to build a personal brand business. It's not just build a personal brand. Anybody with a Twitter account and a YouTube channel can do that. It's about building an actual business.
Every person walking the street, every person at the water cooler has a personal brand, whether they realize it or not, but not everyone is leveraging it to build a money-making machine.
That's it.
And not everyone's leveraging it to make an impact and influence the lives of others in a meaningful way, whether that's entertainment, education, or emotional value, motivation, enlightenment. Everybody can create value. Everyone has value, unique intrinsic value as a human being to give. I believe that, you believe that, we live it. But there are people who have that, and the value that they have has a 6, 7, 8-figure, 9-figure, 10-figure business attached to it, because they may not realize that that's their potential.
I couldn't agree more with you, 100%. And more often than not, the biggest thing that people struggle with actually is, well, I don't want to be center stage. I don't want to be front and center in my business. But I always say the same thing, you really, in this day and age, you have no damn option. You have to be, because you are the only defining, clear, concise factor of the future of your business, right? It's really that simple. People want to do business with other people. I call it P2P, people to people. You know, there's B2B, B2C. This is P2P, baby. This is the future. You build relationships with handshakes, hugs, and high fives. You don't do it with freaking email signatures. You don't do it like that. And it drives me nuts when I see people, you know, reaching out. And, you know, there's not a week that goes by where I don't get an email from someone that says, oh, I love your work, Chris. It's just so inspiring. Yeah, why have I never heard from you, mate? Why have I never seen a retweet or a quick message on Instagram, right? Oh, but I would really love for you to be part of my lineup for my virtual summit on productivity, but you must send it out to your email list of at least a minimum of 10,000.
They're going for that kind of first interaction?
Oh, yeah. Every week I get them.
Didn't like once upon a time I send you like a Twitter video message just to say thank you? I think 2 years ago or something. Like, yeah. I mean, people don't realize
that's the secret sauce right there. We have it in the palm of our hands, literally, at any time, right? And people aren't using it. Relationships should be treasured. They shouldn't be used. And I don't know. This is where my old school business mentality, maybe I'm very British, right? But
I love it.
This is where my old school mentality will come into play, is that, you know what? I was closing literally million dollar deals before I ever had a Twitter account. So, I mean, I know that I can sit at a dinner table in a restaurant and close a deal right there and then. I don't need email or video presentations or fancy keynote presentations to do that for me. Like, it's P2P, it's old school. We're going way back. If you're not writing, where are they? Oh my God, I can't. Now I actually want to show you them. Here we go.
Handwritten letters?
I have bunches of these, bunches. They're just simple postcards.
I love
it. With my logo on it. That's it. I will bring a bunch with me to America. You know, one of the things I like to do when I'm at a conference, when I meet someone for the first time and I've had a good conversation, maybe a quick coffee or a dinner or whatever with them, I'll find out what hotel they're staying at and I'll find out when they're leaving. And I will handwrite a note, walk into that hotel, give it to the concierge and say, I'm not sure what room Mr. Blake is in, but can you please get this to him before he checks out? No problem. I've been doing it for years. You could talk to a number of people that we will bump into with each other in San Diego in a few weeks from now. They've received one of those cards from me. It's old school. You do things right or you don't bother doing them at all, you know?
Yeah, no, it's why a lot of people don't realize this is why I stand out in the hall after a conference, or now that I have some sponsors for these, I'm going to be standing at their booth, but I'm standing there for an hour, literally just answering people's questions, just relating to them, sometimes hearing their story, sometimes sitting there and like, again, it's not, I'm not getting paid extra and I'm not getting paid for that, but it matters. And it's so many of these one-to-one relationships. I, even with my membership group in my online platform, awesomecreatoracademy.com, what people don't realize is I never talked about it on my YouTube channel for the most part. In a year, all of 2017, I didn't talk about it. The reason we have like 110 members is because I personally either met those people in person, DM'd them in Twitter or Instagram and had real conversations with them, or got on a phone call with them, or they worked with me in one-on-one coaching face-to-face like this, or I was on an interview with them on their show, or they were on my show or something like that. It's like I built every single of those 100 memberships through relationships versus scaling ads, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? But I wanted the foundation of this group and the first like 100 or so members. I wanted every single one of those people to have a personal relationship with me, and it's made the group stronger, which means that in the next level, as I scale it, as I introduce more of my audience to it, as more people come to it through the podcast and so on and so forth, as we build that community, which it'd be staggering to be build even something half as big as Youpreneur, because Youpreneur's community is almost 1,000 members now.
It's not too far off it. Yeah.
Like,
it's not too far. I mean, we've certainly had more than 1,000 join, but obviously people, you know, drop off. Yeah. It's nature of the recurring business model. But I will say, I'll echo your sentiments there in regards to the whole personal relationship thing. A lot of people don't know this, but when I opened the doors to the Youpreneur community in September of 2015, I know, right? It is. But I did so exclusively on Periscope.
I think I remember that, because you and I were early adopters to Periscope.
Yes, we were, exactly. And I was on it. Like, Periscope opened a completely different channel for me from a community building perspective. I'm so sad that it kind of died. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I loved using it. I loved the simplicity of it. I just absolutely, I loved, tap the screen, give me some love. You know, I just loved.
Instagram Live is very much that feeling again. I've like, that's part of why I'm falling in love with Instagram, is all the options.
True. Like,
I think it's eaten up everything I love about the other platforms. The little things that I liked about Snapchat that had me give it a chance, Instagram absorbed all of it. The things I loved about Periscope, Instagram absorbed all of it. They will never take me on Twitter though. I just don't believe it.
But you know, when we launched it though, it was huge, because what happened was I didn't email my list. Mm-hmm. I didn't put anything big up on social or anything like that. We just, you know, it was months of work on Periscope. We were going to open it. I said, you know what? Let's spend like a week just, you know, giving it to the Periscope people.
Yep.
And so we did the launch. I did a live walkthrough where I literally, you know, you're holding the camera in front of the darn computer screen, giving them a walkthrough. And in, I think in 48 hours, we had over 200 people join. It was insane. Mm-hmm. It was insane. And at that point, I rolled it out, obviously, to my email list.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the email list did not perform as well as Periscope did. And I think the reason why is because of the sheer amount of time and energy and focus that we put into Periscope in the weeks with the run-up. It was more personal. The relationships were already formed. It was no-brainer. People were waiting for the doors to open. They were waiting to give me their money because they wanted to be part of it. And I think that was because of the sheer focus that we had on the relationships.
I believe in that. And that's why I believe live video is so important. I feel like that is definitely a big thing. I also feel like there's so many of these ways to tap into the emotional equity of building these relationships. I think that the audio long form content of a podcast, that hearing someone and being able to binge listen day in, day out, as you go through your day, as you go through your work, as you play with your kids, as you do whatever, I think that podcasting does that in a way that nothing else can. But I think that YouTube and video have value because you get to see the person, you get to see the personality, you get to see how they emote, you get to resonate with that. You know, there's something to that. It's the next best thing to being in person, but live video is really the next best thing to being in person. I mean, we're having this conversation in real time right now. We get to see each other's face, we get to look each other virtually in the eye, so to speak, and there's a great quality to that. And when you can scale that beyond one-to-one to one-to-many, that feels to that individual like one-to-one, and when you can acknowledge what they're saying, there's something magical about that. It's why I'm embracing live video across multiple platforms even more. I was an early adopter to Periscope, just like you were. And in fact, you were like one of six people that I had on notifications. I had you, I was notified whenever you were going live. It was you, Fanzo, Gary V, Amy, and like Terry White, and like maybe two other people. I think maybe
that's a good bunch of people to be in on a list with. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's funny. I think looking back, I think I'd already heard of it. I was at a conference in Vegas. Was it the last Blog World? No, I don't think it was. It was probably another show. I can't remember now. It was another event. But I was in Vegas and I was like, at this Periscope thing on my phone. Somebody had told me about it earlier in the day or whatever. Let's turn it on. My first ever Periscope was actually me with my arm out of the back of a car in Vegas, just going down the strip at night, and you just see all of the lights in Vegas and everything.
Right on.
And when I saw these comments popping up on the screen, I saw these hearts. Dude, it was like cocaine to an entrepreneur. I mean, I was instantly addicted to the fact that I could interact with these people. Mm-hmm. You know,
people think attention
in real time.
Drug. I don't think it they realize huge. Interaction is our drug, not attention, interaction.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, which is why I do so many live events. I mean, it's in my blood to want to do what I do on stage, get off and have a good time with everybody.
I hated public speaking. I hated the scrutiny of it, and I'm addicted to it now that I've become a speaker, as you know, and I'm always on a plane now. It's so fun.
Well, I think what it is, you just grow up. I think that's what it is. And I mean, that's why some of the most introverted people I meet are actually closet extroverts. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I think of my friends,
Pat,
like, you know,
the best examples of that.
Well, Pat, I wouldn't call Pat an introvert anymore. I think the first
time
I met him, he certainly was quite introverted. Now he's well and truly shed that skin completely. But I mean, like Darren Rouse, for example, over in Australia from Pro Blogger, he's a very introverted guy. I mean, he could be at, you know, I mean, the guy's a legend. A legend in the blogging world. Yet he could be a party full of bloggers and you wouldn't even know he's there. You know what I mean? Like he's incredibly, incredibly introverted. But the moment he steps on stage, he grabs your attention and your focus. I mean, probably honestly, one of the best speakers in the online business space.
That's high praise.
He doesn't do it very often.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. He doesn't do it very often. So, you know, and then you get kind of loudmouths like me who have no problem jumping up on stage. They crave the attention and the interaction. You know, I relish it. And I like the entertainment value of being a speaker. I like to make people giggle. I like to, you know, inspire and educate them, obviously, but any session you go to of mine, you'll have a good time as well. Like I'm going to make you have a good time whether you want it or not. And so I think that, you know, that's part of me, being uniquely me. And that's why, you know, the overall encompassing message of Rise of the Youpreneur as a book is be you. Like, just like do more of what you're incredible at doing. Forget the stuff that you struggle with. You know, affect change, solve people's problems. If you do so, you get the chance to put a good price tag on it a lot of the time. And just continue to be happy. Here I am, 15 years as an entrepreneur. I've made millions and millions of dollars. I've got hundreds of people working for me. Yet I wouldn't be doing anything else. other than what I'm doing right now. And if I did remove all the other businesses and everything out there, I wouldn't make anywhere near as much money as what I do with what I do online. I mean, I make a good living, don't get me wrong, but nowhere close to what I'd make without all the other brick and mortar businesses. But I wouldn't care, because I'd still be just as happy as I am today. And life's too darn short to be doing stuff every single day that you're not enjoying.
I absolutely believe in that. I want to do nothing but build businesses and brands that I'm proud of, that I'm happy to have my name on, not things that I want to ship off and sell 5 years from now, because right. You're like, that's the, like, I build businesses to own them and to live them. Or even if I were going to put someone in charge of managing them, it's kind of the fact that I want to build something to give somebody a sense of ownership and pride and a home that I didn't have in the corporate world. Like, there was nowhere where I wanted to be a lifer, where I wanted to work somewhere for 10 or 15 years. If I could give somebody the tremendous gift, because not everyone's made to be an entrepreneur, but some people are made to be a leader within an organization. Some people are meant to be on the front lines of the tasks that they do within an organization. And the thing is, if they can do that and they can love it every day, then that's a sign of good leadership and building something built to last, because it's built to give people a sense of purpose and a sense of pride and a sense of joy. I mean, do you realize how few employees that I interact with when I go and I'm serviced as a customer that I see taking genuine pride in their work and that and joy in their lives? And you realize how hard it is to get customer service with a smile today? And it's not because people are crap employees, it's because they're living lives of silent desperation. And I don't ever want anyone for me working and feeling that. And I want to build businesses so that I can give people the opportunity to do something that they take genuine joy in, Chris, day in and day out. I mean, I want my success for other people, because I could do exactly what I'm doing, and it's scaling, it's doing very well, it's taking pretty good care of me. But I want to build bigger and better things, not only because I think I have it in me and I want to see how far I can go and what my potential is. And eventually, of course, I know I'll wind down when if you ask me the pack question of where do you want to be in 15 years, where do you see, without reservation, I want to be happily married. I want to be laying in bed like next to my wife, probably pregnant with a third child that we're going to love to death. And I'm going to be, you know, like old school with helicopter parents. I plan to be a drone parent. I plan to be a predator drone parent, like coming in with seeker missiles. Like, you know, I don't even have these human beings in my life yet. And I'm already obsessed with them, because I know that that's what will truly make me happy and fulfilled, is to know that I've built a grand enough life that allows me to provide every opportunity for my children to exceed their potential, to break through their limits, and to pursue whatever it is that makes them happy. I can give them that. That's why I do what I do, is I want that for myself, and I want it for as many other people as possible. Wow, I'm tearing up talking about it.
Well, it's good, because it shows that you give a damn, and a lot of people don't nowadays, yeah. So that's a good thing. Look, as a father of four, I can tell you very clearly that, you know, once you become a dad, it's a defining factor in your life. You are nothing else at that point in your life. Everything else is inconsequential in every way, shape, and form. You are a dad. That's your role in life, period. Everything else you do is just a dance. It's a moonwalk.
Yeah.
It's just MJ coming down and saying, yo, you got a moonwalk across the stage right now. Everything else is just the moonwalk. You're just a dad, and that's it. And I have no doubt that you will achieve all those things. And I tell you why with such confidence when I say that. That's because you are a very good leader. And the reason why you're a good leader is because you continually put yourself in positions where you are learning new things. And I believe that a leader must continue to learn in order to continue to lead. And you live it every single day, brother.
I super appreciate that, especially coming from you, Chris. Some final thoughts. What do you think is probably the defining key lesson that anyone can take away from this book when they buy Rise of the Youpreneur?
I think, honestly, it's about being very comfortable in your own skin from a business perspective. It's not about hiding behind smoke and mirrors and you know, trying to do it behind email addresses and Facebook pages and things like that. This is about you rising up. I mean, the title of the book is in itself a call to action, right? It's a call to action. It's a movement, yeah, is what it is, to adventure. You're absolutely right. And so I think it really comes down to just being secure in your own skin, doing things your way, understanding that you are your number one business asset. And if you build, market, and monetize a business, you know, from the right place for the right reasons, no harm will come to you. Not really. You will ultimately future-proof yourself.
I love that. I absolutely believe in that 110%. Who are three people that you think embody the youpreneur spirit?
First and foremost is the gentleman who wrote the foreword for the book, my very good friend Lewis Howes from the School of Greatness. Lewis is, he's the personal brand personified, literally.
I love it.
Face is on everything. His name is on everything that he does. It's quality all the way, et cetera, et cetera. So Lewis definitely, I've got to give props to him. He wrote a great foreword for the book, and he is, he's walking, talking proof that this model works.
He's been crushing it in YouTube lately, by the way. I watched him come up from less than 10,000 subscribers. I watched him grow and rise, and he's only gotten better.
And what is he at now? Do you know roughly?
I think he's curious. Roughly at 80,000, 90,000 right now, I think.
Yeah, that's great. I know a lot of people that are at that kind of 80,000 odd point right now, and they're all telling me the same thing. It becomes incrementally easier the closer you get to the 100,000 subscriber mark.
It does, but not for the reason of the number in and of itself, even though that helps cultivate the attention. It's everything. Sure. It's everything that you did to get to 80.
To get there, of course.
Facilitate the 250,000 that you'll get within the next 2 years or more. Gary went from, he took a while to get to the tipping point of 100,000. I almost beat him to it before. There was a point where I could have caught him. There was a point where Saradici could have caught him, and then he just went, nope. He went to 1,000,000, but what people need to understand even about that, and this is the formula you and I were talking about off air before, was that evergreen content, and this is what most of our friends are building, whether I know they realize it because they've done content in other platforms, but in YouTube, it is the secret to momentum, because the biggest YouTube megastars only can siphon attention and only can work off of what's trendy, or being a trend, or being a persona, or being a living meme of themselves. And they keep going off of that, and they have a highly engaged young audience. Our core audience is an older demographic, usually of people 24 to 45 and then older. Like my core audience, that's my core audience. Like I have only 5% of my audience under 18. My biggest swath of my audience between you and me is 24 to 34 is 40% of my audience, and it gets older after that. It only sums up. I have a good swath of the younger skew of millennials, but that's only maybe 25%. So, and then it's all older. It's all business people. It's all people in their professional career.
Yep. I look at my stats, I see 35 plus.
Exactly.
I don't attract anybody really under the age of 35, fine, because that's my prospective customer anyway, right?
Bingo.
There.
Bingo. Yeah. It's a smaller market online, but it's still a growing market, but they're not fickle. They're not fickle like the young people, and we won't have to go out of our way to continue to capture their attention and to retain their loyalty, but we will always have to give specific value to them, which is why we won't get the view to subscriber ratio of a normal person. And this is just, again, some free, siphon this, take this for yourself, steal it. But what we will get is we will continually to get momentum. A year, 2 years after we put out a piece of content, it will still be delivering thousands of subscribers, tens of thousands of views in the long tail, especially when we're giving away gold, when we're putting out things that maybe even in the backlog, we did a conference and then we put out the whole video 6 months later, a year later, because we're also promoting the next upcome of that conference or whatever. I usually do it the week after to start selling the new tickets or sell the virtual conference tickets. And that's a deal that I work out with the conferences that they love, but the, cause it's free advertising, but the value of this kind of thing is that our evergreen library means that as we build on ourselves and as we get new experiences, new relationships and skills, it's the stack that gets you. If you can move to 10,000, it's easier to get to the 100, but if you can get to 100,000 and all of your content or a good swath of it, 60, 70% of it is all valuable evergreen content that doesn't matter what time or what year it is, you only can get momentum off of that. And it will be relatively easier to move the needle to get to a quarter million, a half a million over a period of time.
Makes total sense.
Even with less volume, it is so much easier, Chris, because of momentum. And every Lewis Howes interview is exactly that type of content. Every single one.
Absolutely.
Every single one. Yeah. And all the micro
content. So to get back to the answer to the question,
Sorry,
that was a rabbit hole, but it was a good rabbit hole. I say, Lewis number one, Gary number two, clearly, and me. I'm going to put myself on the list.
Okay, nice. I love it.
I make lots of money helping people doing exactly what I want to do. And that's the embodiment of a youpreneur right there. That's what it's about.
There you are. You're a living avatar of your own movement, and I dig it.
And that's one of the reasons why we have such a huge stick rate at the community, such a huge return rate of our attendees at our live events, and such a good open rate on our emails and all that kind of stuff, because I'm writing for me, I'm producing for me, I'm podcasting for me, I'm holding live events for me. When I'm not on stage hosting an event or doing an opening or a closing, you know, remark session or whatever the case may be, I'm at the back of the room writing down notes like my life depends on it. Even though we're videoing it, I want to be in the moment like everybody else in that audience, and people can see me doing it and they comment on it. And I tell them it's because everybody that goes on a stage at a Chris Ducker event is somebody that Chris Ducker himself would want to learn from. Otherwise, I'm a fraud as an event organizer. It's not just about filling a speaker bill. It's about getting people together that I want to learn from myself. If I want to learn from someone, then I know the people in the audience are going to want to learn from them as well.
No, that is brilliant. I think everybody should learn a lesson in that. I've seen so many great podcasters use exactly that same thesis to build their business, their ancillary businesses outside of their content. And it matters. That was actually part of my secret with consulting, was I actually used consulting to get smarter. Like, people don't realize that every time I do a consultation with a corporate client or one-on-one coaching with someone in my community, that I get smarter as a result
of
listening to them intently, thinking about their problem, putting myself in their shoes, literally living out their pain in my memory palace. Like, that's my other hack, is I sit there and I do that because I'm insane. And then the pain in their chest becomes the pain in my chest. And then as a result of needing to solve that, I know exactly how I can help them. Yeah. So I think that people underestimate. Surround yourself with people that you want to learn from and that you think can teach you. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And it's been my great pleasure to be able to be in a room with you in the few times that we've been able to do it. We're going to do it a lot more.
We are.
Yep. And I just want to thank you for taking the time this evening and coming on to the show and coming out here for the Create Awesome community.
It was all my pleasure, man. It was great to be on, and you're a real inspiration with what you're doing for your people. So it was great to be in front of them. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody, you have to get the book, Rise of the Youpreneur. Chris, I think by the time we put out this episode, it's going to be launch day. But for those people who are early adopters, they're on the Patreon supporting this. Link in the show notes if you want to join that community. They'll get early access to this episode so they can pre-order, and you can go ahead and you can get those pre-orders. What date is it coming out? And they can pre-order
Feb 20.
And they can pre-order in Amazon, iBooks.
They can't pre-order. We're not doing a pre-order campaign.
Really?
But what they can do, if they go to riseofthejupreneur.com, they can hop on the VIP waitlist. And if you get on that waitlist, we'll email you the moment it's up on Amazon. And we'll be giving everybody early access and some bonuses and things like that as well. So
That's
even
better.
Better than pre-ordering.
Yeah.
Even better. Absolutely.
Maybe I should do that. It's even better than pre-order, guys. So you're going to get bonus material. You're going to get early access. That's great. And for those of you who are in the Patreon community for the podcast, you're going to know about that even sooner than everybody else watching and listening to this. So that's fantastic. Guys, make sure you're checking out youpreneur.com. It is a great community. I am part of that community because I am constantly investing in my learning. And you guys can also visit us over at awesomecreatoracademy.com. There's a lot of resources there as well. You can download either the YouTube Starter Kit, or you can reach out for any one-on-one coaching or any of the courses. And I also would encourage you guys, if you are already an entrepreneur and you are overwhelmed and overburdened, get the book Virtual Freedom if you haven't already. It is on my list of the 100 books that built my business. And it, I mean, it really makes a difference, you guys. So definitely check that out in the show notes. And that's one of the big things that I think made a difference for me as an entrepreneur. And I would encourage anybody who's feeling overwhelmed, overburdened in what they do to read that book. It is a game changer and it'll hold you over until Rise of the Youpreneur is out. Anyway, guys. Yeah. Anyway, guys, once again, thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time. Guys, remember, go out there, create something awesome today, live the life that you want, the life that you deserve. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. Hungry for more creative and practical ideas? Why not visit createsomethingawesometoday.com and access all resources and links mentioned in today's show, as well as special bonus content that Roberto regularly crafts for you. Now, go create something awesome today. Create something awesome today.com.